Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. John Amici going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Major League Baseball has rejected the player's offer for a 114-game regular season with no additional salary cuts and told the union it did not plan to make a counterproposal. Broncos coach Vic Fangio said that his remarks about racism and discrimination in the NFL were wrong and apologized, saying in a statement, "I should have been more clear and I am sorry." And finally, Liz and Brian Ballard of Lake Tyler, Texas, used CPR to revive a baby deer. The fawn was drowning in a lake, and the couple took turns blowing into its nose and mouth until it started moving and breathed on its own. So nice. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Did you know that you could resuscitate a deer with CPR? John Amici played for many years in the NBA. It is among the least impressive things on his public resume. Yes, Dugant.
I was going to say, if you knew you could, would you? I think that's the real question. If you knew you could do it to a deer, would you do it to a deer?
All right, let's make that the question as well. At Lebatard Show, would you use CPR on a deer to save its life? We'll start there with John Amici. Would you, John Amici, give a deer CPR if you could save his life? Thank you, Stugatz, for derailing everything. John?
Yes.
Would you? You would. Okay. So you would save a deer with CPR. You are a kind and benevolent human being. Thank you for making the time for us today. Can you please help us understand what John Amici sees when he sees America burning? I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. I'm just laughing at Stugatz and just the things that he does. That's all. can you tell us what it is you're seeing over in, over where you are?
Well, the fact is that while England is not burning, much of Europe is in solidarity with what's happening in America at the moment. I think it's hard to watch America where it's so clear. It's such a shame because I spent so much time in America that I know what so much of America is about, and it's not coming across to the rest of Europe right now. It feels like America's being reduced to some stereotype of white men walking around with nooses ready to get the next black person. That's kind of the sentiment that's coming across. I don't think people can have any concept of the history, although we should in England, we don't teach it. And so when people look at America burn right now, it just looks like it's a place that's regressing into its infancy right in front of our eyes.
What do you make of what's happening right now? You and I have talked for over a decade about black people dying in the street. What do you make of the shift happening now?
I don't know if there's a shift happening right now. I think people love the idea of inertia, right? They love the idea that there's something sustainable about this, because the very fact that there's something sustainable about this gives us a sense of redemption. Perhaps we aren't as terrible if we finally reached a tipping point. But the problem is with inertia for societal change, what really is happening is more akin to this. Racism is like a big boulder being pushed up a hill. And most of the time, it is black people and a few staunch allies who work relentlessly to push this boulder up the hill, whilst at the same time trying to take care of the families, whilst at the same time trying to live their lives, do their jobs. And then something like this happens. And a man like George is murdered, and then lots of other people come and put their hand on the boulder. And the problem is the excitement of pushing a boulder up a hill tends not to last very long. And whilst it may be moving faster than normal right now, you'd better believe that most black people, most allies who've been working tirelessly in this civil rights fight for hundreds of years, realize that at some point soon, the flavor of the month will die, and the life of a black person will fade into just another statistic, and they will be left alone pushing that boulder up a hill.
John Amici with us here on ESPN Radio. Meech, what do you need to see? What do people need to see that would suggest that there has been a shift, that suggests that there is some sort of progress here moving forward?
We've got to see people turn words into action. I mean, this is a point where I think people have to realize it's not enough to be not racist anymore. That is fundamentally it. It's not enough to be not racist. That declaration neither makes you a good person, nor does it help save the lives of even one black person. We now have to be vehemently, proactively anti-racist. We have to put ourselves in a position where, for many of us, we will have to, and many allies, will have to look at ourselves and wince when we realize that we have not taken action when we could. Because, let's face it, not everybody has the power to impact millions of people, like you guys do on the radio show. Most of us have the power to impact a small number of people around us. But the truth is, to be truly making a difference, you have to look at that opportunity and deliver on it every day. For some people, you'll have, you know, the stereotypical racist uncle. And the truth is, I understand that love is unconditional, but proximity is not. You can choose the kind of people who are around you, because when you are around people who are racist, you are co-signing on their racism. And I think that we have to have people take these small actions. And you know what part of the problem here? None of this is super sexy. None of this is hashtag warrior stuff. None of this is getting your picture in the paper for protesting in the middle of the street. All of this is really mundane, and it's invisible, and nobody will thank you for it. And that is what we need right now. We need people to do the stuff that nobody will recognize, nobody will thank them for, but will really make the difference, because it allows you to be seen as a point of light. You are going to take a stand. I am anti-racist, and that means I'm going to examine my own behavior. I'm going to admit to my failings in the past, and I'm going to hold myself and the people I surround myself to a new standard. That's what we need now. And instantly as we do this, there will be people out there yelling political correctness, and that has always been the way for so many years to prevent well-meaning, good-minded people from taking action lest they be seen as virtue signals. But you're not virtue signaling if you really decide to make a substantive change where you hold yourself and the people around you to account.
I don't know how much you know about what's happening with Drew Brees, the New Orleans quarterback, at the moment. But what does John Amici see when he looks at the American flag? What do you see?
I would just advise people to look at every single verse of your anthem. Look at every single verse of that anthem, and you will suddenly see that there are parts in there about running down slaves. Now, the reason that I'm not so infatuated with the British flag is because You don't have to be a black person to realize just what ruin Britain caused across the world. America, you don't need much of an example to realize what ruin Britain brought across the world. You suddenly realize that, that kind of looking at a flag and thinking that it embodies all that's good and can never contain anything that's bad is such a childish, puerile approach to understanding your own nation. Drew, I saw his comment, and I just thought, oh, I can't say the words that I thought at the time, because I have so much contempt for him. So much contempt. Because you have to be, he can't be that stupid. He is purposefully misconstruing the entire point of the Black Lives Matter movement. He is purposefully misconstruing it in the same way that you have politicians out there who say, don't protest this way, protest another way. But if you protest the other way, you get punished as well. There is no winning. And Drew Brees knows this. He's smart enough to know this. And instead, what he's done is made sure that a certain segment of the population will pat him on the back and reward him handsomely. He'll be appearing on stages left, right, and center to spout this claptrap while black people die.
We're going to try and make it a little bit more fun in the next segment. We're going to stump them each. He is going to lose. Look, I've got a series of excuses for why it is we lost last time. But us not being in the studio isn't going to affect us this time. We're going to bury him.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
All right, John Amici going to continue with us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He's going to lose at a game we like to call Stump the Meech. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
We are going to play Stump the Meech in just a second, but I had a follow-up question. You mentioned contempt for Drew Brees. It's not something I've heard from you a whole lot, that word. Can you explain to me the nature of the contempt beyond the idea that you think he's being willfully ignorant?
It is one thing to be willfully ignorant when nobody can hear you. It's another thing to be willfully ignorant when the world will pay attention. I'm in England and I don't care about sports, and I know about him. People will listen to him. They will have their maybe perhaps not his views, but their own twisted views about this, reinforced. There is nuance in this world, and that you have to at least embrace the fact that when you have this disproportionate impact, this disproportionate influence, you must be willing to educate yourself so that you don't do disproportionate damage when you open your mouth.
What about his apology? Does his apology mean anything to you? I don't really want to get into the parsing of sincerity of an apology, but I don't know how you received his apology and whether you think that it's just butt covering or dollar covering.
You cannot unring a bell. There are politicians in America right now who know this. It's perfect. They say something, and then it's retracted later on by another person. You can't unring the bell. Once you say it, it's out there. It metastasizes. It develops a life of its own, regardless of the truth around it. This is devastating for civilization, and I mean that in the broadest sense. It's devastating for us as a society if we can't rely on our most powerful people, regardless of whether they are traditional voices or not. I recognize that some people could say sports people aren't the voices, but They kind of are. I just think, how can you not realize, with that many followers, that many fans, how can you not realize and take pause for a second and think, regardless of what I think, in the context of even one man's death, never mind the death of a litany of black people, perhaps I should hold my tongue.
All right, so let's do the fun stuff here. John Amici is always great on the serious stuff, but he's also great on the fun stuff. He's coming off what we believe to be his first victory ever, even though he's
not my first victory.
Yeah, okay,
no,
I don't want to.
No, you certainly acted victory. Like it was your first victory. You ever hear
I was
act
pleased.
Like you've been there before?
Yeah. Mike, it's very clear that of all the things happening, you are deeply wounded by your recent loss, and I understand that. And as a psychologist, I am compassionate to it.
As am I, but you were feeling very good about yourself. I would expect a heavy dose of the good stuff right now.
I haven't heard anything, but this is him. He's been reeling since the last time you were on. So the first one's generally a little bit easy, but let's go ahead and play Stump the Meech. Bristol, go ahead and play the first Stugatz mispronunciation. Play it again,
please. So that's either represent.
Reprehemp.
you're so terrible.
Yeah, thanks. Reprehemp.
See, now, it's either represent or reprehensible. It feels like the kind of thing you would kind of blend into five syllables. One more time.
Reprehemp.
Yeah, I think that's reprehensible, but
Amici, we don't have all day.
Represent,
here.
Represent.
I think it's reprehensible. I think you should have gone with your first thought. What is it, Mike?
I agree, Dan. He should have gone with his gut. He loses the easy.
Oh no!
Reprehensible.
He's going to go 0-5. All right, play another one.
Okay.
Play another one, Bristol.
What?
One more time.
Sorry.
Wow. Okay. One more time, Bristol.
Oh, boy. Meech, you know an 0-5 erases any previous victory that you had, right?
I mean, no, it does not. I cannot be unwrung.
Come on, Meech.
Armed. I'm just going to go with armed. I know it's not that. It's something terrible.
It is aren't.
Aren't. Let's hear that again, Bristol. The word aren't is pronounced by Stugatz.
Okay.
All right. The third
That's
word.
An abomination.
Yeah, the third word for John Amici is?
Butts cup.
Again?
Butts cup.
Butts cup again.
Butts cup
again.
Butts cup
again.
Butts cup
again.
Butts cup.
Go ahead, Amici. What do you got? Butts cup is what it sounds like.
I will. I'm feeling bad for Meech at this point. I will say this is two words.
Well, I don't know what it is. I was just going to go with buttercup.
It is butt soup.
Butt soup.
That's right. Let's play it again so people can hear how Stugatz pronounces butt soup.
Butts cup.
All right. Very good.
0-3.
Wow. All right. So it's already a loss. He can't come back. Let's get the fourth one. We're going to get him with all five. Let's get the fourth one.
Don't mess with me again, Meech.
Yeah. Oh, this is severe payback. I see what's happening here. Mm-hmm. One more time.
I'll give you another hint. This is also two words.
Oh, my what? Goodness. I would not have got that.
Again, Bristol.
Two words?
I don't know what that is.
How is that two words?
Probably something. I don't know.
No, it's probably pro ball.
All right, pro ball. Let's hear it again, Bristol. The phrase pro ball as pronounced by Stugatz.
Pro.
Yeah, very good. Okay, close. Jesus. Oh, good God.
Four.
All right, well, but that's impossible.
Okay, this is a toughie. This is a tough day. It's all right.
Last one, Bristol.
Yeah.
Let's just just go to commercial?
I'm gonna hear it again.
Wait, no. We need an answer. We need to see if he gets blank. This is also two words.
No, play it again, Bristol. That is not two words.
That is two words.
It is not. Weirdly enough, Meech, that right there, play it again, Bristol. That is Stugatz reading the Emancipation Proclamation. The whole thing. There it is.
Oh, boy.
Any guesses?
I've got nothing on that. I've got
nothing. What is it, Mike? How could you have anything? Bristol, one more time.
I don't know why this one was hard. That is very clearly Stugatz saying, I mean.
Meech, good catching up with you. Big hug. Go leave us now. 0-5. 0-5.
I walk away with dignity.
Carl Douglas joins us next.
That was Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Butts cup.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Carl Douglas expected to join us there in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. Major League Baseball has rejected the players' offer for a 114-game regular season with no additional salary cuts and told the union it did not plan to make a counterproposal. Broncos coach Vic Fangio said that his remarks about racism and discrimination in the NFL were wrong and apologized, saying in a statement, I should have been more clear and I am sorry. And finally, not making your bed can be safer than making it. Unmade beds expose dust mites to fresh air and light, dehydrating them and reducing the number of allergens in your bed. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
The star of the O.J. Simpson documentary that won ESPN an Oscar was not O.J. Simpson. It was this man, Carl Douglas. He is our attorney, the show's attorney, and he is also someone we call whenever it is that we need or want good content. So Carl Douglas joins us now on ESPN Radio. He is based in Los Angeles. Los Angeles seems very unpleasant right now. So, Carl, thank you for joining us. What do you make of what you've seen in America as a guy who has, you know, been a part of the biggest civil rights law firm that we've ever seen in America with Johnny Cochran? What do you make of what's going on in the United States over the last 5 days? And thank you for making the time for us today.
Well, first of all, Dan, thank you for having me on your great show. You know, I'm a big fan. I watch it every day. I've been, man, a civil rights lawyer for 40 years. And I've always believed that the Lord put me on this earth to sue police officers. And if I can leave your listeners with one thought, at least, it is that police brutality has not gotten worse, man. It's just being televised. When I was growing up, Gil Scott Heron of The Last Poets once said that the revolution would not be televised. But that was before the invention of cell phones. Trust me when I say this is a cultural revolution and it's live. Dan, there are so many George Floyds that weren't televised. I got a case that I call The Forgotten Man. Oro Nunez Sr., it's spelled N-U-N-I-S. Stugatz, Oro was a 47-year-old Jamaican-American who was unarmed. And on March 13th, he stood 5'4" tall. He weighed 145 pounds. Dan, Oro Nunez was the husband and father of seven. Mr. Nunez was suffocated by the Chula Vista Police Department in San Diego County as they tried to detain him. Mr. Nunes had done nothing wrong. His daughter had called the police for help. But you see, Dan, cops in small towns aren't often trained as well in cops in the big cities. Cops in small towns don't often get the cream of the crop in terms of police candidates. They get the leftovers, to be kind. But there was no video taping Oro Nunes Sr. when he got suffocated by five cops. Nobody is marching for Oro Nunes Sr. And if five trained cops could not detain an unarmed man who is 5'4" without killing him, I say they don't deserve to be police officers. I have to explain to his wife, to one of his seven children, why nobody is marching for Oro Nunes Sr.
Why do you think that this one feels different to America, even if it doesn't necessarily feel different to you, Carl Douglas?
Because George Floyd, separate from any other occasion that I had ever seen in my life, narrated his own death. Mama, they're hurting me. You guys are gonna kill me. I can't breathe. He was narrating his own death. Dan, the man with his knee on his neck had his hand in his pocket. The fourth cop was standing within arm's reach and could have tapped him on the shoulder. Okay, okay, he's down, we got him. The fourth cop, the Asian cop, could have simply said, Dan, you see they are filming us right now. But that reflects a culture. He had 18 separate occasions when he was complained about and he got off. So there's a culture in Minneapolis. That culture is viewed because Omar Jimenez, a black reporter from my alma mater, Northwestern University, was arrested on the air. The sound man said, guys, you do know that we are recording this, don't you? But there's a culture by the code of silence. Dan, the code of silence is the greatest impediment to reform in the police system nationwide. The code of silence is why cops don't report on other cops, because it's dangerous out there. And a cop never knows when he's going to need someone to back him up. So a cop would not dare say anything that would go against another cop, because the next call, God forbid, that may go me. So that code of silence is at the essence of what is wrong in police departments across this country, not just in Minnesota, brother, not just in Miami, but everywhere.
Attorney Carl Douglas with us here on ESPN Radio. Carl, from a legal standpoint, what will be the biggest challenges for the prosecution in this case?
Stu Gotts, the biggest challenge is that people are watching cars burn, and they have the police as the last line of defense from me and anarchy. In Minnesota, the history of that entire state, there had been but one occasion in history where a police officer was ever convicted of a crime. That was a black Somali police officer convicted of shooting a white woman. But I'm hopeful, Stu Gotts, because things are changing. I see the diversity in people marching. I see white folks marching in Australia and New Zealand. I see police chiefs like Chief Arredondo, who grew up a block from where George Floyd died, coming among the protesters. I see police chiefs marching with the protesters. I see police chiefs kneeling down as well. Stu Gotts, black people cannot change racism by ourselves. I said it. We need white people when they are together with each other in moments of quiet reflection, when that white person will choose in that private safety to unfurl his sheet and to show you where his heart really is. It is then that you have to call them out, my white brothers, my white sisters. You have to tell them that they're wrong. Black people are never going to shame white people into ending racism, because power never concedes power voluntarily. I learned that in college 44 years ago. But things are changing, Stu Gatz. In L.A., even though there have been hundreds of police shootings, the DA has never prosecuted but one police officer. But things are changing, because white people are getting shot by rubber bullets as well. In L.A., white women are getting shot by rubber bullets as well. And trust me when I say, Stu Gatz, when white women start getting shot by rubber bullets, you're going to come out of your bunker and grab a picket sign.
Carl, stay there. We're going to come back with you. This dude's the best, man. He is simply the best. More Carl Douglas next.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, Carl Douglas, attorney, nice enough to stick around for a second segment with us, and he will continue with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Live.
So, Carl, tell us what needs to change in order for police officers to be more successfully prosecuted.
Let me first say, Dan, you are my most favorite sports celebrity, Stephen A. included, because you dedicate time to matters like this, and I love you, brother. Listen, my parents were big on sayings, man, and so I'm big on sayings as well. I tell your listeners to keep up the peaceful protests, because that's the only way. Power concedes nothing voluntarily. He who does not learn from his history is doomed to repeat it. And regrettably, brother, change rarely comes as quickly as we would prefer. Legalizing abortions, I'm sorry, took decades of protest before it was changed. Legalizing gay marriage took decades of protest before it was changed. And something that was particularly near and dear to my heart, legalizing marijuana took decades of smoking to change.
What is Los Angeles like right now? Are you afraid, Carl? You've lived through all this stuff. The sports heroes who are marching for civil rights, they're old. They're using canes. Like, you have seen so much. It feels like a different Los Angeles. Some of the video and photographs I've seen over there, it feels like military police.
Listen, man, when white women start getting beaten up and shot with rubber bullets, trust me, change is coming sooner. Listen, man, think about it. Heroin was in the black community for decades. But then we started calling it opium, and we declared an epidemic with pictures of white women who were hooked. Think about it, bruh. I was smoking weed when I was 16, meeting my boy at a parking lot of Jack in the Box. And now it's called cannabis, and I pay taxes in the store. Gotta understand, man. We move like a luxury liner. We're not a speedboat. There are gonna be more George Floyds. There has to be more peaceful protests. But remember this, man. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can protest and vote. We can protest and serve on a jury when that summon comes. Because, Dan, I dare say, I've been suing cops for 40 years, man, and the cops' biggest fear is a black person on a jury. Stukatz, when a cop lawyer, or even a DA for that matter, sees a black person walking into the jury box, man, they treat that dude like they just heard he caught the virus. Ooh, get away from me. Because on juries, black and brown people have the power to stop injustice. On juries, black and brown people have the power to save a life. On juries, black and brown people have the power to make a difference. Brothers, we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
We've got less than a minute left, and this is a complicated question, but I trust you, Carl Douglas with us on ESPN Radio. Are you worried when you see what's happening in this country that it feels like freedom is trembling, that it feels like there are some infringements going on right now that are threats to our freedom?
Brother, I was there in 65 when they were burning down my neighborhood. I was there in 92, and I woke up and I smelled smoke in my house. And I had a in the hills with a view of the Hollywood sign. It's still bad, but it's getting better. I have to be hopeful so I won't cry. I have to think for a brighter day because I believe in humanity and I believe in the spirit of American people in spite of our current president. Please go out and vote.
Carl, always good catching up with you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
My pleasure. Always have you on. Next time.
We can't really have you on enough, I don't think. Like, honestly, Stugatz, if you know, obviously beyond the sing-song, beyond how smart and eloquent he is, that's a dude who has lived all this stuff. Like, he's got his fingerprints all over the civil rights stuff that goes back, decades. And I'm telling you, Stugatz, when I talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jim Brown walking with a cane, the guys who are loudest right now, Steven Jackson, Ed Reed, you see all the gray in their faces. We'll talk some sports next.